From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armand Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. He shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. Christ himself is the builder of his spiritual temple, and he has built it on the mountains of his unchangeable affection, his omnipotent grace, and his infallible truthfulness. But as it was in Solomon's temple, so in this, the materials need making ready. There are the cedars of Lebanon, but they are not framed for the building. They are not cut down and shaped and made into those planks of cedar whose odoriferous beauty shall make glad the courts of the Lord's house in paradise. There are also the rough stones still in the quarry. They must be hewn thence and squared. All this is Christ's own work. Each individual believer is being prepared and polished and made ready for his place in the temple. But Christ's own hand performs the preparation work. Afflictions cannot sanctify, excepting as they are used by him to this end. Our prayers and efforts cannot make us ready for heaven, apart from the hand of Jesus, who fashioneth our hearts aright. As in the building of Solomon's temple, there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house, because all was brought perfectly ready for the exact spot it was to occupy. So is it with the temple which Jesus builds. The making ready is all done on earth. When we reach heaven, there will be no sanctifying us there, no squaring us with affliction, no planing us with suffering. No, we must be made meet here. All that Christ will do beforehand, and when he has done it, we shall be ferried by a loving hand across the stream of death and brought to the heavenly Jerusalem to abide as eternal pillars in the temple of our Lord. Beneath his eye and care the edifice shall rise, majestic, strong, and fair, and shine above the skies.
Worship you today.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he brings the final portion of a message entitled, Comfort for Separated Saints. Verses 13 through 18 of chapter 4 deal with the blessed hope of Christians, the second coming of Christ. Yet this very prospect was creating unrest among some of the Thessalonian believers. They had an unrealistic view of that somehow those who had already died would be at a disadvantage when Christ returned, and so they were full of sorrow. Paul calls upon them to look carefully at what the Scriptures have to say about this matter. Unlike the pagans, believers in Christ have a hope that is grounded in historical reality. Believers are in union with Christ. Consequently, they are united to one another. Christ's purpose is to gather all of His people into one place, heaven with Him. Now here is Pastor Tamassian to conclude this message, Comfort for Separated Saints.
We are all waiting for Christ to appear from heaven. All of us. In fact, those who already are dead, who have gone into eternity, are also waiting for His Son from heaven, as it were. Not in the same way, but they're waiting for the same event. They're waiting for the unification again of body and soul. They're looking for that. All the saints are waiting for Christ. And we on the earth, we wait for Him. We do. We wait for him. We labor. We occupy till he comes. We're constantly going about the business as God has appointed us responsibilities and given us privileges to labor for him. But we all wait. We're not waiting in the sense like we're doing nothing, waiting until he comes. But there's an expectation he will return. He is coming back. And we go about our business and we discharge our duties faithfully, knowing deep down by the teaching of the Spirit of God, Christ will return. And when he does, what a scene. What a scene. All saints, all of them, Abraham, Isaac, everyone from Abel. Abel will be there, finally, reunited with his body that was slain by his brother. He will be there. And every saint that has trusted in the blood of atonement since then will be there. Everyone for whom Christ died will be there. Nothing will prevent this. Nothing will stop it. Nothing will hinder it. Christ will see that his people will be gathered onto himself. And the way they died and the period in which they died and whatever else may be argued as to, well, this might, maybe because they didn't live a good Christian life, maybe because they continued in a condition of spiritual immaturity all of their days, that will not make a difference. Nothing makes a difference. The one question is this: was the soul in union with Christ? Were they joined to Christ? Do they have faith in Christ? Are they resting in Christ? They will be there. They will all be there. That brings us then, thirdly, to consider the triumph. The triumph. In verses 16 and 17, there's an air of triumph here. We read, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven." He shall descend from heaven. Well, this is the first note of triumph we see. The fulfillment of his promise. Go back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Luke's gospel already gives us a scene of Christ's ascent, being carried up into heaven in Luke 24. But he begins the book of Acts in a similar fashion, reading from verse 9, Acts 1, verse 9. "When he," that is Christ, "had spoken these things while they beheld," that's the disciples looking on, "he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. The same Jesus. That is a Jesus that you knew, who died and rose again and ascends in this glorified humanity into the heavens. He will return. He will descend. This was what was promised. And Paul says this is what's going to happen. As he ascended into heaven, so he will descend. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself. Not a different one. Not an imposter. The only Redeemer of God's elect. The one who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. One of whom Peter says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This one, this only one, will descend as he ascended. He will return in like manner. That's the fulfillment of his word. What a triumph that is, to know that what he has promised will come to pass. There's also the manifestation of his power. Not really going to get too much into this. Excuse me. But you see the words, "shout, voice of the archangel, the trump of God." And of course, you want to hone in on that and say, well, what exactly is that? And whose is the shout? And so on and so forth. Is this the last trump? Or, you know, well, I'm not going to get into that. John Calvin said, I think this is helpful, at least for this time and where we are presently today. The apostle unquestionably had nothing farther in view here than to give some taste of the magnificence and venerable appearance of the judge until we shall behold it fully. With this taste, it becomes us in the meantime to rest satisfied. His point is to just help us see the magnificence of the return, but not to get so bogged down in details that you start arguing about the exact timing of it all. It's often vain, though it may have its purpose at times, but crucially, it is not the point of the passage. There's much to learn from the passage. And systematically, you can pull out whatever doctrine that it deals with and look at it and begin to deal with the doctrine of last things and learn many things from what is said. And you can pull together. Is this the same trump of 1 Corinthians 15? Well, how does it fit with the trumps in Revelation? You can look at all of that. But essentially, it is the fact that there's this power that is unleashed. Christ comes not as he came the first time. He doesn't come under a cloak and guise of a veiled glory, taking on our humanity and being an infant in a manger, having nothing of the splendor that he had in heaven. But he will come, he will return to this earth in the fashion expressed to declare his absolute sovereign power over all peoples, over all things. Nothing will stop it. And even the greatest authority on earth will shudder if he is not in Christ at the appearance of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we have, of course, here also the glory of his presence. Verse 17, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the fulfillment of the work of Christ in its absolute sense. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. To bring us to God. That's the goal, that's the purpose. Adam, by his disobedience, plunged all himself and all his posterity into a condition of being separated from God. Had no right into the presence of God. Had no grounds to appear before God. Had no argument for any privileges from God. This is what Adam accomplished for us. The curse, judgment, condemnation, wrath, separation forever. But the last Adam, he reverses all that Adam did. And he deals with each and every issue that might separate the sinner from God. And it becomes the offering and the offerer, the sacrifice and the priest. And he lays down his life, the just one, for the unjust, to bring us to God. And he brings us to God in such a way that no matter what happens, even death itself, nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Every believer that comes to your mind who has gone to glory, every dear loved one who's passed into eternity, knowing Christ, resting in Christ, you will see them. You will see them. You will gather around Christ. There with them you will meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The body perfectly united with the head. Every member in perfect harmony with the great head of the church. Forever, forever with the Lord. And then Eden. Eden for the people of God. Eden in a way that can never fall again. What rejoicing in his presence. when are banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain, I shall know him. Do you know him? Do you know Christ? If death was to come suddenly to you, would you be gathered with all the saints? Or will you be separated forevermore? There's a great gulf fixed, can never be crossed. The condition after death is sealed, settled. Your appointment to heaven or hell cannot be changed. Do you belong to Christ? The sorrows of this life will continue. You've no doubt experienced many of them already. And there are many more, no doubt, should God spare us and Christ tarry in his return. But these things, these truths, the thought of what will happen to those who die rather than those that will be living when Christ returns, sorrowing over the possibility of some secondary experience, sorrowing over the fact they're not going to enter into the full enjoyment that we will enter into, all that is sorrowing without reason, without grounds. Every child of God will be gathered together in a glorious reunification of the Church of Jesus Christ. May the Lord give us a joyous hope in the anticipation of that great day. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful that we come to one that knows our sorrows and our cares and concerns. And we're thankful that the cares that have been addressed in the past by holy men of old that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost can bring the equivalent comfort that it brought to those of old to our hearts as well. We thank thee for truth. We thank thee for the foundation of the truth that we believe. We thank thee for a gospel rooted in history, a message established when God invades time, sending his Son to be the Savior of the world. We praise thee for thy redemptive love and for thy Son who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, may this move us to gratitude, to praise, to service, to thanksgiving, because nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever separate the believer from their Savior. Help us then to find this, our greatest joy. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, our Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with all thy people now and evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.faithfpc.org. www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.